Here we go. History in the making.
Green, green, green.
Denny Hamlin goes back-to-back, but even though he's running a throwback for Carl Edwards, he doesn't do a backflip. Hi, this is Brett McMillan. You're listening to the Pit Reporters. With me this week, Jeff Gluck from The Athletic and Dylan Welch from the CW.
Welcome to the Pit Reporters on the Performance Racing Network. And now, here's your host, Brett McMillan.
Hey, welcome to the show. Jeff, we're after going to go easy on Dylan. He's got the yellow rookie stripe this week. This
first
is his first time here. So don't be
I
too
like
rough
that.
On him.
They got rid of rookie stripes, though, so Dylan, you're all good.
That's right. That is exactly right.
There we go. All right, let's talk about Denny Hamlin. You know, it's funny, to contrast, Jeff, between the 2 weeks, Martinsville, he dominates and wins. Then he goes to Darlington. Hardly gets to the front at all because William Byron leads almost every lap. But there he is at the end, celebrating thanks to his outstanding pit crew.
You know, Denny Hamlin has lost a lot of races. There's a lot of races that he should have won that he ended up on the wrong end for various reasons. Cautions coming out at the wrong time. Whatever, right? This is clearly one where he got one back because he wasn't going to win this race. I think he said afterwards he's probably the eighth best car. And surely, I don't think any of us were thinking Denny Hamlin at the end of this race. But lo and behold, this is why you stay in the game, right? These veteran guys know how to stick around just in case something happens at the end. Part of racing is not taking yourself out of it, even if you don't think you're going to win. You know, like sometimes it looks like you're going to finish third, you end up winning. I didn't think that he had a car that was going to do it. Wasn't really on my radar for most of the end, and gets that pit stop just at the right time, right? And next thing you know, his guys get him out front, starts the front row, and he wins the race. So it's what you got to do sometimes. He got one back, and now he's only four short of his stated goal of 60 career wins. So he got another one.
I mean, Jeff's right, Dylan. I mean, he's lost a lot of races on pit road, most of them due to his own speeding. But this time, he nailed it, the crew nailed it, and hey, he got out there first and had a great restart.
Yeah, I think that was exactly it, was that once he got the track position, he did his job too, because that restart, even if he had gone down in there side by side with whoever was starting next to him, who knows? You know, they may not have, you know, run into each other, but it would have been a lot more difficult, I think, for Hamlin to do what he did. So he nailed the restart. He got a gift, but then he did his job to, you know, get clear of everybody by the time he got to turn one, and then it was over.
You know, you talked about his stated goal, Jeff, of being 60 career wins. A lot of people are beginning to wonder now, can he get to 60 this year? We might be thinking about it a little early because he's still only at 56. I mean, that's four more wins this year. But, you know, considering what happened last year with Joe Gibbs Racing, where they didn't win a race the last half of the season, now they got five wins already this year.
Yeah, that's unbelievable, honestly, because we made such a big thing out of, you know, the, like you said, going the whole second half of last year without winning. Now, that said, I mean, Christopher Bell certainly could have won a few himself in the second half of last year. You think of that Vegas win, or that Vegas race, right, in particular, that Logano ended up winning. Strategy didn't play Bell's way. But, for JGR to come out this early like this, you know, but still, like, when you think about Hamlin in particular, I feel like I've fooled myself over the years into thinking that these veteran guys still have so many more wins. And, you know, like Truex, when he won his last race, I wasn't like, oh, that's probably his last career win. Certainly I didn't for Jimmy. The year Jimmy won his last career race, he won three races earlier that season. Then he went like the last 3.5 years without winning. You know, you look at Harvick going winless in his last year. And so when I see Hamlin win these races, it's easy to fall into that talk of, okay, yeah, now when's he going to get 60? I'm still more of like, if he's going to get 60, because we've just seen it where these guys inexplicably, you know, get to a certain age, and I don't know what it is exactly, right? If it's the cars, if it's, you know, their eyesight or something, hand-eye coordination, I have a hard time believing that since I'm the same age as Denny Hamlin. I don't feel old, right? But I used to think of these guys that were retiring, like, oh, they're so old, so they must lose something. I feel like I personally, you know, I'm like, okay, I'm waking up every day. I'm like, I feel the same as I always did. So what is it exactly? I don't know, but at some point they fall off a cliff. So I'm not ready to say he's even going to get to 60 yet, but for him to win back-to-back races is certainly something to celebrate.
You feeling the same way, Dylan?
I think that's a good point, honestly, because, you know, I mean, who knows? I mean, if he didn't win this weekend, Martinsville could have been his only win this year. I mean, winning multiple races in a year is difficult, let alone, three or four more, whatever he needs to get to 60. If he wins one race a year the next few years, I don't know. Does he have four or five more years left of his driving career? So, I don't know. I'm kind of with Jeff on that. Like, I think maybe it's an if, not a win.
But it's easy, Jeff, to look at him and say, all right, this is a guy who, when he gets on a roll, and maybe it's his attitude, the cockiness, you know, when he gets out of the car and it's, you know, the way he carries himself. Like, you know, I mean, he didn't get out at Darlington with the 11 against the world thing, but he gets that attitude and he carries himself. It's like you feel like, okay, he's still got it. He's on top of the world. And then he's going to a place this week where he won last year at Bristol. And he's got these tracks that he's really good at.
I totally hear you. And I think, you know, momentum matters in the sense of confidence, maybe, like to feel like, okay, we're doing the right things. If we put ourselves in position, we know we can still do it. But look at this car and how hard it is to win races. I mean, you know, the fastest cars, it seems like, really don't win a lot of these. And earlier this season, a few weeks ago, we were talking, oh man, Christopher Bell has won three in a row. Man, it's just going to have a massive year. When is he not going to win? When is he not going to go into one of these races as a favorite? And then, you know, you see him come out the other day. If he hadn't gotten a timely caution for his pit strategy, he was in like 29th or something. Then he gets up to sixth because of the track position game, and he's able to stay there. And, you know, because it was just hard to gain or lose spots, really, unless you had a wildly different strategy, right? Where, you know, Blaney coming through the field at the end. So, you know, it's one thing to be like, man, this guy's talented. He can do it. This team is firing on all cylinders. But to win these races is like a whole different thing. And I think it's so hard now with as even as everybody is.
Do you think Denny is more interested now in winning races than focusing on championships?
I think so, because he still wants to win the championship, of course, but I don't think his legacy will be defined by that. You know, I think he's, and you hear these guys say that it's winning a championship in this format is different because it comes down to effectively one race. So, that makes it more difficult. You hear these guys talk execution every week. It's like, you go talk to crew chiefs, like, oh, we just got to execute. Like, that's hard. Like, kind of to Jeff's point, it's like, there are so many tangible and intangible things that go into winning these races now. It's not like you are, you know, Blaney driving through the field like he did on Sunday, I feel like is pretty rare these days. You know, so you got to be almost perfect across the board with everything you're doing to win these races. And it's just hard to do. So, to your question kind of about the championship, the same thing applies. It's like you got one race to nail everything, and that's hard to do.
You know, it's amazing when you really think about it. And I felt like this when Denny got his 50th win, Jeff. It's hard for me to sit there and think about Denny Hamlin being all alone an 11th on the all-time wins list. I mean, I know he's won a lot of races, but it doesn't feel like he's won that many races that he's 11th all time on the wins list. And I've been there for the whole time.
Yeah, I hear you. I mean, it's just, I think when you look at the longevity of some of these guys, you know, Hamlin came in and what, you know, mid 2000s, like what was his rookie year? 05 or something like
that.
Was
his first full rookie year. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, we're talking 20 seasons in the sport of consistent winning, and then, you know, yeah, you'll have a season where you win one or two races, but then you'll have a season when you win eight races or whatever, right? And so you look at it, and over NASCAR history, that is hard to do. That sort of sustained longevity with winning over and over again. I mean, you know, take Casey Kane, right? Like, Casey Kane comes in, and he was a great driver, and one year he won six races, and ultimately he's unable to sustain that over a long period of time. So the guys that, you know, can really, really do that for a long stretch. I mean, if you get even 20 wins, I mean, that's a Hall of Fame career in NASCAR. Pretty much that's like the Mendoza line almost for Hall of Fame, right? Like people who have 20 wins and no championships are going to be in. So to me, it's like, you know, it's really hard to do that to even win a handful a year. And if you are able to, it adds up in a hurry. And that's why I think Hamlin wants to get to 60. Not only is it a round number, but I mean, he said, really, I want to get to 61 because that would put him alone in the top 10 all time, passing Kevin Harvick, who has 60 right now. So he'd end his career being one of the 10 winningest drivers in NASCAR history in terms of the Cup Series. And I think, you know, to Dylan's point, championship aside, you're like, hey, that's it's a pretty good career.
It's impressive.
It is. And you think about it, like Kyle Busch, you know, his win streak of what was that, 19 straight years with the win?
Yeah.
It's like, that's, even if you win one race a year, that, like, to Jeff's point, all these different iterations of cars and just how the sport has changed to do that year after year against the best drivers, the best stock car drivers in the world, is remarkable. And it speaks to how good these guys are, I think, if you're able to do that consistently year over year for decades.
A year ago at this time, we were wondering if Ford would ever win a race. They ended up winning the championship. Well, here we go again. They do have one win, but are things as bad as they look for the Blue Oval? Stay with us.
Hey, this is Michael Walter for Echo Park Automotive, and I'm here to tell you why you should shop Echo Park before you buy a car, truck, or SUV. Over half the inventory at Echo Park is priced below $25,000, and car for car, truck for truck, Echo Park Automotive's pricing is $3,000 less than the competition. Maybe that's why Echo Park has over 100,000 five-star reviews. Echo Park Automotive is built to make sure everyone drives away happy. It's even in their name, Echo Park Automotive. Every car, happy owner. The official used car dealer of Speedway Motorsports.
Whether your engine runs daily or only when you need it, Z-Max Micro Lubricant is the force you need against carbon buildup that can damage your engine. Combustion causes carbon and other harmful deposits to build up in your engine, fuel system, and transmission. And carbon is like sandpaper rubbing against your engine's internal parts. You don't want that. You want Z-Max Micro Lubricant. It soaks into metal and keeps your vehicle running at peak performance. Find out more at ZMAX.com or visit us on Facebook and Twitter. Protect your engine to the max with Z-Max.
Catch Kyle Petty's Back Then Again Country Countdown with Charlie and Debbie here on PRN, the Performance Racing Network.
Dale Earnhardt, he's almost been deified. There's a mystique about him that's never been attached to any other driver, including your dad.
I think there's two things for Dale Earnhardt that make him who he is. He was that guy that's your neighbor. I don't care if you live in a mobile home. I don't care if you live in a mansion. He's that guy that was your neighbor. He's the guy that was out in his yard planting his plants. He's the guy that was out there mowing. He's the guy that was out there doing it. He's the guy that drove the truck. He's the guy that got up under the car and changed the gear. He's the guy that put on a uniform and jumped in that car and became your hero on a Sunday afternoon. And you could identify with that. He's really that last guy. And he is, in the words of Tom Wolfe, last great American hero, the book that was written about Junior Johnson. He is that last guy to a lot of people. And he was going to have that following no matter what. It moved to a different level because of what happened at Daytona. Billy Joel, only the good die young. And that's the way you remember it. So I think that moves you to a different place too.
We're back with more of the Pit Reporters on the Performance Racing Network.
Hey, welcome back. Along with Dylan Welch from the CW and also Jeff Gluck from The Athletic. Brett McMillan, glad to have you with us. And I tell you, Dylan, you look at, you know, I talked about it going to the break. Ford does have a win this year, the Wood Brothers win at Las Vegas, and that was a huge moment. Obviously, anytime the Wood Brothers win a race, Josh Berry getting that, everybody feels great about it. But I don't feel the same way about Ford that we did last year at this time when everybody was, oh, Ford's in big trouble. And I mean, think about Sunday. Ryan Blaney was going to win that race, right, except for the late caution.
Yeah, yeah, it definitely feels less like the sky is falling than it did 1 year ago. And yeah, Blaney, I think probably if you'd looked at the list of the Ford guys that you expected to win by this point, it probably would not have been Josh Berry. So that is a surprise. But, you know, Blaney, it didn't work out for Blaney, but everybody knows he had the best car. So I think that's something encouraging for the Blue Oval folks too, is to look at, is that, yeah, we didn't win, but a lot to learn from that and some positives to take from it, certainly.
And you know, Blaney's had some awful luck this year. Well, I guess you'd call it bad luck, Jeff. I mean, you know, the engine, two engine failures, and he's had fast cars. And how many times do you hear crew chiefs go or drivers go, I've had fast cars, so I'm not that worried about it, because as long as I have fast cars, things will come around.
Yeah, I mean, in Blaney's case, you could arguably make the case that, I mean, is he one of the best cars of the year, if not the best, right? I mean, you look at the NASCAR Insights data, all the new charts that they come out with. They started this recently a couple weeks ago. Blaney had what they call the second fastest car at Darlington, although I would argue it could have been the fastest. He was number one in passing, but his pit crew ranked number 35, right? He had one moment where he went from fourth to 16th. And then on the late restart there, he loses control of the race. He drops off the front row. Overall, he is number three for the year in terms of speed. And, you know, you have Joey Logano at number seven. Overall, five Fords in the top 13 fastest cars on their speed ranking here is what I'm looking at. So, to me, it's like, yeah, I mean, you could say, wow, we should have done a lot more. And that's certainly when you have a, you know, when you're looking at like, okay, you know, playoff points, we're starting to miss out on that, right? Like that hurts when you're missing out on opportunities to set yourself up well for the playoffs. But if you're looking at like pure performance, I feel like they're okay. And when you know, Josh Berry, when you look at him as part of the Penske group as well, I think he's 11th here in fastest cars this year. I mean, they're doing great. They just need to actually finish these races.
Well, and that's the challenge. I mean, you know, I know Joey Logano had his first top 10 of the year at Martinsville, which is shocking to a lot of people, but consistency eventually will pay off.
Yeah, and if you're, to Jeff's point, you know, the data doesn't lie, and it's like if you're doing those things well consistently, you think eventually it's going to fall your way, right? You know, if you've got the fastest cars, if you've got cars that can pass, you need help from your pit crew, obviously, but those are the things and the data points that matter. So the cars are fast. They just need some things to fall their way, and it's early in the year still, so there's plenty of time for that to happen.
You know, the one Ford that I think has got everybody baffled right now is Brad Keselowski. We keep waiting for things to happen good for him, Jeff, and so far that hadn't happened, and now we're, you know, how far into the season are we now? And eight starts, and he's still mired 31st in points. And he just, I mean, I know he was fast early in the year at Daytona and Atlanta, but my God, he just hasn't been a factor.
Yeah, you know, that group of fours I was mentioning, he's certainly not in those. This looks like he's only ranks 23rd fastest car on speed this year, where both Ryan Preece and Chris Buescher, his teammates, are up there. I don't know what's going on there. He gets a new crew chief in Jeremy Bullens, and that is a crew chief who he had success with at Team Penske. They were unable to continue together due to, I think, contractual matters for Bullens when Keselowski left to join RFK. So now there was a chance for them to reunite, and they do that. You know, Keselowski made that a priority, and it hasn't clicked so far in terms of their performance on the track, certainly. And some of that's bad luck, but some of that is just performance as well. They just haven't been up there. So, you know, I'm definitely concerned, but at the same time, we all know how this playoff system works. You win one race and the whole season turns around. You're in the playoffs. You have time to get yourself right for the final 10 races and see if you can make a run. Certainly we've seen other Fords do that the last few years. So, it wouldn't be at all surprising to see Keselowski figure out how to get himself there and make a run to the final eight or whatever it is. Right. So, but it's definitely concerning. You're just like, what the heck's going on for them to be this low in the points after eight races?
Do you think, Dylan, and I'll get Jeff to address this too, is this maybe a factor of adding that third car?
Well, the third car is probably the best running car of the three right now. So I don't know if that's the case or not. But, you know, I think there's probably, even though Brad and Jeremy have worked together, I don't know, and I could be wrong on this, but I don't feel like they've worked together as driver and crew chief pairing in this Gen 7 car. So maybe there's Maybe there's some things, some growing pains that they've got to work through just as they get reacclimated with each other. Jeremy's still learning the RFK way of doing things, and that kind of stuff matters. And when you're not running well, it makes it hard to progress and learn. And you know, as Jeff said, if you start to run better, I think it just kind of helps everything. But it's hard to get to that point when you're struggling as bad as they are. So probably just I'll chalk it up to some growing pains and some just reacclimation for those guys getting back used to working with each other.
Jeff, how about you? You think the third team is taxed the resources maybe to that organization?
Yeah, I kind of tend to agree with exactly what Dylan said there, where when you have that team running as well as they are, it seems like that's not the problem, right? Because if anything would have been weak, it would be the newer team rather than the sort of established one. Keselowski did make a comment this weekend at Darlington along the lines of Jeremy Bullens is still trying to learn the tooling they have at RFK, or the tools. And I'm assuming, you know, digitally or whatever they do for their sim or something like that, maybe. I'm not sure. So, you know, it wasn't a super specific comment, but it was along the lines of he's still trying to learn what they have there and what he has to work with. So probably along the lines of what Dylan said in terms of just being an adjustment period right now, but can't come soon enough, I'm sure, for those guys.
Well, Chase Elliott made a comment this last weekend at Darlington. It had to do with throwback weekend. We'll talk about that when we return.
If you turned 65 recently like me, it's important you find a Medicare Advantage plan that gives you the coverage you're looking for. But finding one can be difficult. The best thing I did, and I suggest you do the same, is call a licensed insurance agent and let them walk you through your Medicare Advantage plan options. There are so many benefits you have access to, so make the call now and let the representatives explain everything to you. Our licensed insurance agents can offer you a variety of Medicare Advantage plans. Plus, the call is free, the information is free, and there's no obligation to enroll. We're here to make it easy for you to select a Medicare Advantage plan that may work for your needs. Finding a Medicare Advantage plan can be easy if you do what I did. Make a quick call right now to learn more. Thank you.
800-433-3082. 800-433-3082. 800-433-3082. That's 800-433-3082.
Mark Garrow's your host for Garage Pass here on PRN, the Performance Racing Network.
Hi, I'm Ryan Blaney, a third-generation race car driver, and we dedicate a lot of our time to going as fast as possible. But when my grandpa was diagnosed with Alzheimer's, it was a very unexpected bump in the road for us. It's important to notice if older family members are acting differently, experiencing problems with their memory, or having trouble with routine tasks. Early detection of Alzheimer's can give your family time to explore support services, make a plan for the future, and access available treatments. If you or your family are noticing changes, it could be Alzheimer's. Talk about seeing a doctor together.
Here's Christopher Bell.
My Toyota Camry TRD race car isn't cheap to build and prepare. I have a pit crew that maintains and fixes my equipment. I have a spotter high above the track watching my back, talking me through turns and potential dangers on the track. I physically train to handle the stress of driving. And I have software helping my crew chief and engineers make the right strategy calls. And with all this, I never take my eyes off the road, and neither should you. One distraction can change everything in one instant.
Let's get back to more Pit Reporters on the Performance Racing Network.
And welcome back, along with Jeff Gluck from The Athletic and Dylan Welch from the CW. I'm Brett McMillan. Glad to have you with us. All right, Jeff, what'd you throw back, guys, last weekend?
You know, nothing. I, first of all, I'd have to have hair to throw back to when I first came back to the, when I first started coming to the track.
Yeah, they do have, pictures they have of myself, wigs available or, you know, something.
That's true. Yeah. No, I was actually listening to my playlist from what I imagine my playlist would be from 2004, which is the first time I went to Darlington on the way in. And that made me feel really old. I was looking up 2004 songs and I was like, that can't be, how can that be that old? No way. That was like 10 years ago, not over 20. But, yeah, it's, I tell you what, I love Darlington in the sense that, when you go there, there's so much, I can envision so much of exactly how it always was from my memory bank, right? Like Sure, you know, some minor things have changed, but it's pretty much the same track. It's the same layout in the infield, and you just roll through there, and you can just picture all these different things from all over the years. And I think it's a really cool, special place. I understand why people were, you know, not thrilled about the throwbacks, in the sense that half of the field wasn't running them, right? Okay, I get that. But ultimately, I do think it's more about just the throwbacks on the cars. And I know it's kind of a cop-out because that was the original concept. But I thought what Raja Karuth tweeted the other night about it, maybe it should just be like a retro weekend. You know, just let everybody throw back to whatever they feel like. And if that's companies that want to throw back to their old logos, fine. But celebrate the heritage of the sport. I mean, we had a tweet up, and NASCAR brought Ron Hornaday, Jeff Bodine, Mike Skinner, Mike Wallace, and they just told old Earnhardt stories for like 20, 30 minutes or something to the fans that were just eating it up. And, you know, it's a great way to celebrate that kind of stuff that you don't get to do every weekend. So I think it goes beyond just the paint schemes on the track, personally.
Well, I think Dylan, Jeff makes a great point. And before the break, I talked about, you know, Chase Elliott said it's outlived its usefulness. And Kyle Busch, on the other hand, and when Kyle Busch is the voice of reason, a lot of people are concerned. But he said, it's not for us, it's for the fans. And I think they're absolutely right. And I don't necessarily disagree with Chase Elliott, but listening to Jeff and the way he talked about, I think it'd be, maybe it's time to approach it differently. And maybe what Jeff's talking about with the bringing in the alumni and stuff like that, maybe that's the direction we go. So how do you feel about it?
Yeah, I was actually going to bring up Raja's tweet as well, as I thought that was a good perspective. And it's hard, right? Because there's so much corporate involvement now with every, from top to bottom in NASCAR, that it makes it difficult. And I understand these sponsors, you know, they spend a lot of money, so they don't want, you know, they want to get what they paid for. So it's difficult, but I like it. I think it's cool, you know, like like we were talking during the commercial about the Harrison Burton Xfinity car, the throwback to his dad's, one of the 99 cars, and just how his sponsor Dex Imaging was so involved with making it look as real as they could to the throwback, you know, by, you know, it takes some sponsor, you know, willingness to be creative with it, which is hard. You don't always get that. So I don't know what the answer is, but I hope it doesn't go away. Cause I think it's so appropriate at Darlington. Cause like Jeff was saying, everything about that place, you just walk in there and it feels old school. It feels retro. And I'd hate to see it go away.
Yeah, I go back to Darlington when it was turned around and old. It was old when I first started going there in 1979. So that tells you how long I've been going to Darlington. So, but I mean, I understand it, and the fans seem to enjoy it. But I think there's got to be a creativity to it that sometimes, I mean, when guys are throwing back to their legend cars, Jeff, or throwing back to their own cars, you know, and Chase Elliott's throwing back to his own car 4 years ago, is that really a throwback?
Yeah, I think that's, you know, that's where it needs to be. The whole thing needs to be massaged a little bit. To me, it's like, yeah, I think Carson Hocevar made a good point where if you're throwing back to a car that you have to have either a side-by-side picture or like a QR code on the paint scheme or something to tell what you're trying to emulate, like, are you really doing the job? It really goes back to the costume party concept to me. I mean, if you throw a Halloween party and only half the people show up in costumes, you're going to be like, this isn't really what I hoped for. But, you know, I hear people going, well, all the paint schemes have already been done. We've already seen this and this. Yeah, but you're, by the same token, if somebody comes to the Halloween party and they're in a costume that's a ghost, you're not going to be like, a ghost? Somebody came as a ghost last year. Why are you coming as a ghost? People are going to be like, you could do it every year. Well, why can't you do a number 3 Intimidator 1 every year? Why can't you do, you know, Tony Stewart or even a Kyle Busch M&Ms type thing or Jeff Gordon ones over and over again? Who cares? Like, people, you want it. I think it's cool to honor the ones that everybody thought were badass. And if you're like, come on, man, like, you're thrown back to these. Oh yeah, you don't know. Remember this one from the 1955 race where, you know, so and so that, you know, he won like two career races, but he has this happened to have the same car number, and here's the picture of it. And everybody's like, okay, you know. So if you could just do like the more of like a heritage weekend or a history weekend, you know, even that would be powerful. But you know, the fans we talked to, and I did a little poll on X as well. I mean, like 81% of the people said they want to keep it. And every fan I talked to, like, hey, do you guys still like this? You still think it's cool that we're at the track? They were like, oh my gosh, yes, absolutely. So I think, you know, Kyle Busch's point about doing it for the people in the stands too. I mean, there is something to that.
Is it too outlandish to make it mandatory? Is it too slippery of a slope to just tell these teams you got to do it?
I think so, because of you guys both talked about it. There are sponsors who have, you know, that's their race. That's a race they, you know, they may have only signed up for five races during the course of the year, and if that's their race, they may already have, you know, trying to do a throwback may conflict with what they already have planned or whatever their corporate, you know, whatever they're trying to accomplish corporately from their marketing department.
I don't disagree.
Yeah.
I was just putting it out there for discussion.
But hey, well, does it have to be yearly? Can it be every other year instead of yearly?
I mean, you know, maybe you can even do it. You know, you always hear that like the All-Star race is one of the harder races for people to sell in some aspects. You know, it's a shorter race and half the field's not in it, you know, or something. Maybe that's one where you say, okay, you know, this could be where we run throwback schemes or something. I do think that, like Dylan said, at Darlington, it's powerful. But yeah, I mean, it's, again, if you made it sort of the retro weekend, you could even have the corporations who were like, I don't want to, because also let's think about this, right? When you're throwing it back to something, you're making the fans think about another company, right? Like, so you're like, here's, I paid for this race and I want you to think about Lowe's or Home Depot or whatever, right? Or GM Goodrich, which doesn't exist anymore, you know, instead of my company. And I think if you do it so in a way, so, okay, we'll let you run your company's vintage, you know, logos from the 70s or whatever. And you could celebrate your own company's history. And then everybody could just get in the spirit of vintage and it could just be whatever they want. And some can elect to do throwbacks and they'll get more attention, you know?
Let me ask you a question. We know that Denny Hamlin ran a Carl Edwards Office Depot throwback. Who is the sponsor this week?
Sports Clips.
Yeah. No, you're both paying attention. Good. but you know my point.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, it's, I think I actually pay attention to them more because I'm focused on like I was looking at the Austin Cindric car, Freightliner car, right? That looked exactly like Dale Sr.'s old car. And honestly, like, I mean, I'm not trying to be dismissive here, but in a normal race, if you were like, who's Austin Cindric's sponsor this week? Was it Freightliner? I'd be like, I don't know. But I was like, wow, look at that car. Like, they really went all in on that. That's really cool. So for me, I'm like, hey, I'm actually paying more attention to it because of that.
See, all I saw was Rod Osterlund's car. I wasn't even paying attention to the sponsor because I remember Earnhardt driving that car.
Yeah. That just means you're old, Brad.
Yes, it does. Ask your dad. He remembers it too.
My dad wasn't around back then yet. Not at least not covering NASCAR.
No, he might. I was gonna say he was around. He may not have been covering NASCAR, but he was around. Hey, each week on the Pit Reporters, give you a chance to go to goprn.com and vote in our poll. Come on, your dad and I are about the same age. How often should we have a throwback weekend? Is this week's question: yearly, every other year, every 5 years, or weekly? I'm just curious to see. Last week we asked you, is it really 11 against the world? And 36% of you guys said, no, it's only Denny. The rest of the crew is fine. 32% said absolutely. And 32% said no, Denny does have a few friends. When we come back, the Xfinity Series got a talking to from senior NASCAR officials. I think it paid off, maybe. For now, stay with us.
This is Kyle Petty for Echo Park Automotive. As you might imagine, I know a thing or two about cars, and I'm here to tell you about a whole new way to buy a car, truck, or SUV. Did you know that Echo Park Automotive has over 95,000 five-star reviews? On top of that, every car that Echo Park Automotive sells goes through a 190-point inspection to make sure that it looks and drives like new, so you leave happy. It's even in their name, Echo Park Automotive. Every car, happy owner. The official used car dealer of Speedway Motorsports.
Imagine the roar of the engines, the smell of burnt rubber, the electrifying energy of the crowd. It feels like America. It's the Food City 500 NASCAR weekend, April 11th through the 13th. It's racing the way it ought to be. This year, it's a triple header weekend with the thrill of trucks, Xfinity, and Cup racing packed into three heart-pounding days. Visit BristolMotorSpeedway.com for tickets and details. Bristol, baby!
Lenny Baticki brings you PRN at the Track every week here on PRN, the Performance Racing Network.
It's hard to believe in this day and age in the United States of America that children are hungry.
Our time on this planet is short. We have to give back to those in need.
Every child has a chance, no matter what obstacles they may encounter.
Never have we been taxed more as a society to help kids the way we are right now.
Speedway Children's Charities raises money through several different avenues. My favorite is the gala.
It's one of those can't-miss events for everybody who attends. And I've been able to raise and distribute over $60 million.
When you have 50 different organizations receiving grants from Speedway Children's Charities, that's far-reaching. And some people think, well, I don't have much money to give. I say, $50 is a lot to give.
At Speedway Children's Charities,
our mission is simple.
Help every child we can.
Because all children
deserve joy
and hope
and love.
And if one child is still in need,
then there's still work to do.
Brett McMillan returns with more of the Pit Reporters here on the Performance Racing Network.
Race fans, head over to echopark.com/speedway and you can enter for a chance to win a Toyota Tundra plus a brand new Thor camper. Visit echopark.com/speedway now and you can drive off a winner. Alan, welcome back, along with Dylan Welsh from the CW and Jeff Gluck from The Athletic. I'm Brett McMillan, glad to have you with us. Well, I know you've been spending a lot of time covering the Xfinity Series this year, Dylan. And last week after the, are we going to call it a debacle at Martinsville?
I think it's one word for it.
Is that a good word?
That's one word for it, yep.
A one word we can say on the air.
Yep.
I know that NASCAR senior management had a little talk with the drivers at Darlington. I know that also Justin Allgaier got up and talked to him, and Austin Hill got up and talked to him. And I guess the basic message was, you guys need to behave a little bit better on the track. I mean, we knew it was going to be better at Darlington. I guess we'll find out this week at Bristol if the message got through.
And honestly, I don't know if we'll even find out until we get back to Martinsville. And that's for a spot in the championship. So, I think that, in my opinion, will be the true litmus test, because it doesn't seem like anywhere else there's ever any problems, even at Bristol this weekend. So, I spoke to a couple crew chiefs who were either, I'm not sure if they were in that meeting, but certainly their drivers were, and it was interesting their feedback on how it was all perceived and how the guys that got up and spoke were perceived and everything else. So I'm interested to see how it all progresses moving forward, but truthfully, I think they're going to all be pretty well behaved. And then when we get back to Martinsville in the fall, when it really all matters, we'll see how it goes.
Jeff, you kind of see the same thing happening, that they're fine until they put their head inside the helmet at Martinsville?
Yeah, I mean, Austin Hill pointed out that, look, I mean, Xfinity actually has a great reputation, and a lot of people widely praise it. It just happens to be at Martinsville where his words were, I think, you know, we look like we all forget how to drive or something. And, you know, he also said, to Dylan's point, it's, you know, you might need another meeting before Martinsville as a refresher before that happens. But, you know, NASCAR apparently in the meeting told him, look, I mean, if you guys do this again in the fall Martinsville race, we don't care if you are making it to the championship at Phoenix, you're not racing. We're going to sit you out. And apparently they told them, you know, don't make us call balls and strikes from the tower in terms of when to do penalties, because we're going to call strikes. So, you know, I think they were trying to threaten them and put them in line a little bit. But, you know, whether it works, I guess remains to be seen. I do think that, you know, it's, there are some veterans that can step up. I mean, namely Justin Allgaier. I think, you know, he stood up in the meeting and wants to be a bigger voice. Austin Hill, although he came under a lot of criticism for how he raced at Martinsville, and he is quite aggressive at times, he also stood up in the meeting and spoke to the drivers. So, and then Allgaier and Hill, after the meeting, after they left, talked together about what they could do maybe to have more of like a veteran leadership presence in the series. So I think right now there's also been a lot of turnover in Xfinity, right? Like you've seen a lot of guys graduate recently to the Cup Series and move on. And so it is a lot of younger guys in top rides who are really fast, and you know, they're trying to go to the front, and they drive over their heads certainly at times. But we'll see if this is a trend, or if a few weeks from now we're saying, oh, Martinsville was just a blip.
It's going to be interesting to see how this all plays out. In the meantime, I thought it was a fun race at Darlington, and I was really happy for Brandon Jones to get that win. Struggled the last couple of years at Junior Motorsports, back with Gibbs where he had a lot of success before, and gets that win. And, you know, if you don't win with Gibbs, there's a lot of pressure and a lot of criticism of you, because we know how good those cars are.
Yeah, and they had a horrific start to the year. I mean, just terrible luck, and just like the first 4 weeks, they were just, by their own admission, awful. And then I forget where it turned the corner, but it's been the last 3 or 4 weeks. They've been top 10, just consistently fast and consistently good. And you can kind of feel that the win was on the brink. And then we got to Darlington, and we know how good, you know, he's won there before, qualified second. And just kind of talking to him before the race, you could tell he had it. He had some confidence and some swagger, and felt good about it. And then he went out and delivered. So I was happy for him too. He's obviously, as we all know, you know, put in a lot of time into this series. And frankly, I think he's one of the veteran guys too, that could get up and speak to doing it the right way. 'Cause he doesn't ever really seem like he's on the bad end of these, you know, these aggressive maneuvers. He's usually the one getting, he's not the one making the aggressive maneuvers.
He's on the bad end,
but, you know, he always races people hard, but he usually races them clean too. And I think that was a popular win the other day.
Yeah, we've had some feel good stories this year in the Xfinity series, Jeff, and I think that's probably another one of them.
I mean, I went up and watched that race from the stands, and you know, you saw guys late where, you know, it's like, okay, Chase Elliott's in the mix, Ross Chastain's in the mix, Christopher Bell's in the mix, and to me, it was like, which one of these guys is going to pass Brandon Jones? Not how Brandon Jones is going to hold these guys off. You know, you've seen, you know, he went what, two whatever years or more before he won his last race, 3 years. So, you know, I think for him to go out and do it, and Dylan said, you know, he's won there before, but now two wins at Darlington, which everybody knows is a driver's track. That's not somewhere you like get into some sort of fluke win. And you know, to beat Cup guys, who were in that race and had, you know, cars potentially capable of winning, that says a lot. And I'm sure it does a lot for his confidence. And you know, I think it sends a message to everybody else too. Like, okay, all right, hey, let's look at Brandon Jones here a little bit, right? Like he's been easy to overlook 'cause he doesn't win. But look at this, right? Darlington beating Cup guys. Okay. Like, let's put some respect on this guy's name.
All right, when we come back, Bristol lies ahead. Could we get the same type show we had last spring? Stay with us.
Look, yo, how do you feel today? Maybe you're a little hungover again, feeling a little embarrassed about a few things? Listen, why haven't you called yet to get help? Man, aren't you tired of feeling this way? So listen, whatever your party drug of choice is, there are ways to get clean and sober, especially if it's messing with your life. Hey man, we all have choices. You can make a choice right here, right now, today, to call the number I'm about to give you and start a brand new life without drugs or booze. I know it's hard to think about about this, but imagine how great your life could be. And all it takes is one simple phone call. I've got a team of people standing by ready to check your insurance and let you know what it takes to get clean and sober. Okay, so get ready to save this number, because here it comes.
800-296-1140. 800-296-1140. 800-296-1140. That's 800-296-1140. Paid for by the Detox Treatment Helpline.
Doug Rice is your host for Fast Talk every week on PRN, the Performance Racing Network. It's Bristol.
Now the green flag is waving. We're underway in the Food City 500.
Way too much fun early in the going here at Bristol. Second now belongs to Kyle Busch.
Michael McDowell makes contact with Tyler Reddick. Reddick is spinning. Will he make contact with the inside wall? He gets hit in the driver's door by William Byron.
From the top all the way to the bottom. Big move by Josh Berry. He wants to lead this race.
The Food City 500 from Bristol. Sunday, April 13th, 2 Eastern on PRN. It's Bristol.
Jesse Love goes and cuts down in front of Josh Williams. Austin Hill cannot get the outside line going.
Now he drives up beside Jesse Love. Sam Mayer is going to lead that lap as the pack heads back to one.
Ryan Sieg moving all over the racetrack, upside, downside, trying to block Justin Allgaier, successfully so at this point.
A Love tap in turn two, a Love tap in turn three.
The SIAPS 300 from Bristol, Saturday, April 12th at 4:30 Eastern on PRN. We're back with more of the Pit Reporters on the Performance Racing Network.
And hey, welcome back. Jeff Glux here and Bill Welch is here. And Jeff, last spring at Bristol, we saw a totally unexpected show where tires were falling off fast and tire management ended up winning the day as the veterans rose to the front and Denny Hamlin ended up winning the race, came back with the same tire compound in the fall, and it just didn't react the same way. They still don't have an answer to what happened that day, but it put on a great show, and I understand they're coming back with the same tire compound. Can we hope for the same thing?
I don't think so. I'm pretty convinced that they have no idea what they even did to get to that, because, as you said, they show up at the spring last Bristol, and it's this crazy high tire wear race, which I loved, by the way. I thought that was really awesome to see them having to manage it. It was a bit extreme, sure, but like I loved that, really putting it truly in the driver's hands, right? And then they tested there, and they said, well, it's probably going to be the same thing. All the teams thought that. Goodyear thought that. NASCAR, they're all going in saying the fall race is going to be the same type situation. And then it was just the normal sort of Bristol race with the next gen car where it just didn't react that way at all, and everybody was baffled by it, it seemed like. And so, as you said, it was the same tire compound, supposedly. So, I continue to go back to, like, there had to be something different about that batch of tires, I guess, because it's inexplicable how they weren't able to replicate it, really. It's hard to sit there and go, well, yeah, it'll be exactly how it was in the spring again. I think it's going to be pretty much exactly what we saw in the fall, and that's what everybody should expect. And if it's anything but that, it'll be a pleasant surprise, or maybe a shocking surprise to the teams in Goodyear. But I'm not sure we'll ever know exactly what happened last spring, but it was pretty memorable.
I guess as we look at it, Dylan, it was a combination of, I guess, the weather, whatever the tire compound was, or whatever the sticky compound was they were putting on the track, how much they put it on there. But to Jeff's point, I don't think Goodyear still knows what happened.
Well, and obviously these race teams, these crew chiefs, these engineers are pretty smart. So if they knew going back to Bristol that they were going to have the same tire, guarantee you they did things differently in their race cars to try to at least prepare for it somewhat. Whether that was really the difference maker, what the car setups were like, as you guys said, we may never know, but they've got two races worth of knowledge now on those tires and what they do. And I think we'll go this weekend and it'll probably be just like it was in the fall, because they know what to expect a little more now.
Well, it's the usual cast of characters that we're going to keep an eye on. We know, for instance, that Denny Hamlin is good there. You know, Kyle Larson is good there, and coming off of all the criticism he's getting for going back out on the track at Darlington, Jeff, I'm sure he'll be focused on putting in a full day and having a great finish.
Yeah, I mean, Larson, I just to go back to the going back out on the track thing for a minute. I mean, we talked to Cliff Daniels after that race and said, why? You know, there, you couldn't have gained any points. I guess I could have gotten a point for fastest lap in theory, but you know, what was the point? And he said, you know, there was a lot that we learned. First of all, you know, just getting back out there and running it at Darlington, where we're coming back for the playoffs, you know, we're trying different things with air pressures and all that stuff, but also just going through that DVP process now that it has changed, right? Like, okay, now this is the first time in the next gen car where we have a chance to fix our car for as long as we want and get it right. And so what's that process like? What's got to be on it? And he said, coming back, if they had to go through that scenario again with the same type of damage, they could probably shave off maybe 20 laps to get back out there sooner. And he said, you know, that could really add up in a race where they need it. Like, let's say that's a playoff race somewhere. If they can get back out sooner, and maybe that's a key point or something, right? So I don't really fault him for going back out there. But yeah, I mean, you mentioned it in the fall race there, Kyle Larson led, gosh, what was it? 462 of 500 laps. So he's certainly going to be the guy that I'm watching this week after a performance like that. And it's obviously one of his favorite tracks and somewhere where he can easily go and, you know, make everybody forget last week at Darlington.
I mean, you got Ryan Preece has run well there. This could be the kind of track that, you know, a Kyle Busch has run well there. This could be the kind of track, Dylan, that can cure a lot of ills.
Yeah, and yeah, Christopher Bell has run well there in the past too. He was one that just looking down the list here, guys that that I think, you know, could run well. It always seems like too, I feel like the last couple of years there's just kind of been a surprise or two, kind of a, you know, mixing it up at the front. Maybe not for the lead, but you know, a guy that sneaks in there that you maybe wouldn't think of as a guy that's going to run well at Bristol, but that's just kind of the nature of this track. There's options, you can move around, you can do different things, and it rewards aggression sometimes with this you know, this the way it's laid out now. So excited to watch it. Be fun.
Do we see, I mean, Dylan mentioned the word aggression, Jeff. Do we see more aggression? You know, we used to see it in this the night race. Do we see more aggression now in the spring race because the night race is in the playoffs and there's so much more on the line?
I just think it's more of where they can run, right? I mean, when they used to all be on the bottom the whole race, and the fastest way around was to knock somebody out of the groove on the bottom, and it was pretty much single file. I mean, that's a lot easier to be aggressive there to move somebody up the track. If they're all running the wall, where are you moving somebody? You know, that creates more of a situation where you're side by side, lap after lap, because you're trying to get maybe underneath somebody for a pass, and somebody's trying to rip the fence, and they're hard to get around. They're hard to clear. I mean, Dylan's an actual race car driver. He can speak a lot more to this than I can, but it just seems like if you're single file on the bottom to knock somebody up, that promotes aggressiveness more so than the type of racing they have at Bristol now.
Dylan, you're the race car driver. Answer Jeff's question.
Well, I guess in my thought process was kind of more like, you know, guys maybe drive in there and are aggressive with how they come up across, you know, they pull a slide job effectively where you just come up the track and come across somebody's nose. And it just depends, I guess, who you do that on, if they cut you a break or what point it is in the race. But I think it still seems like we see guys that, you know, can make the bottom groove work, because you know everybody's going to, you know, the fast ways around the top. So if you can somehow make the middle or bottom work, or, you know, a lane off the wall, we've seen that work too in the past. So, creative thinking maybe is a better phrase for what it rewards with the way it is now.
When we come back, White Flag Lap, stay with us.
This is Kyle Petty for Echo Park Automotive. As you might imagine, I know a thing or two about cars, and I'm here to tell you about a whole new way to buy a car, truck, or SUV. Did you know that Echo Park Automotive has over 95,000 five-star reviews? On top of that, Every car that Echo Park Automotive sells goes through a 190-point inspection to make sure that it looks and drives like new, so you leave happy. It's even in their name, Echo Park Automotive. Every car, happy owner. The official used car dealer of Speedway Motorsports.
When it comes to maintaining your engine to run at peak performance, trust Z-Max Micro Lubricant. Z-Max soaks into metal, so it's easy to add to your oil or gas to disperse carbon buildup in your engine, fuel system, and transmission. Protect your vehicle's engine to the max with Z-Max. Check us out at zmax.com or visit us on Facebook and Twitter to find out more about our full line of products. Remember the name, Z-Max, for your car, big rig, small engines, firearms, and more. That's Z-Max Micro Lubricant.
Catch Kyle Petty's Back Then Again Country Countdown with Charlie and Debbie here on PRN, the Performance Racing Network.
Anytime you get somebody at the front of the pack who's not used to running up there and who's not been there, the established names are going to scream. They're going to cry. They're going to whine. Oh, there's somebody else coming up here to get my trophy and get my money. It's Carson Hocevar. What's he doing up here? He had just as much right to get in there and force the issue. And if not for the caution, he's a race winner.
Hey, this is Doug Rice of the Performance Racing Network. That's Fast Talk right here on PRN.
Local radio brings people together like never before.
It's a beautiful hometown weekend out there. We've got
your local stations keep you informed and involved with music, talk shows, and real-time news updates you can trust. We are live and local. We are America's broadcasters, connecting you to what matters most. Text radio to 52886 and tell Congress to support your local radio stations.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
Let's get back to more Pit Reporters on the Performance Racing Network.
And welcome back. Time now for our white flag laps. And first up from The Athletic, it's Jeff Gluck.
You know, F1 drivers this year have been saying, man, our calendar is way too crazy. We've got 24 races, which is a record. And granted, they go all over the world, but they also have an entire month off at one point for their summer break. They have 2 weeks between races at some point. And I bring this up because NASCAR, after this weekend's race at Bristol, is about to go 28 in a row, 28 races in a row, which is the longest they've ever gone. And man, it's tough to believe. It's going to be a heck of a long stretch, and I hope everybody is going to take this upcoming Easter break and truly disconnect, because if not, it's going to be a very long season for you. We've never had a situation where the off week is the last off week of the year is this early. Last year we had a 2 week Olympic break to decompress a little. If you don't want to see everybody just hate each other throughout the whole industry by the time we get to the last month of the season, I hope everybody truly disconnects, takes a break, puts down their phone. And I know people will be at Rockingham, but the Cup guys, I don't want to hear from anybody.
All right. Next up from the CW, who'll be working over Easter weekend? Dylan Welch.
But you know what? We have two off weeks in May back-to-back, so I do enjoy the Xfinity schedule. I want to give a quick attaboy to Ty Gibbs, who they have just been not very good. I mean, all the way back to last year. Through not really entirely their own fault. Ty's got a new crew chief this year. Talked about growing pains earlier this year with Brad and Jeremy Bolins. Ty got a top 10 this weekend, his first one of the year, first one, like I said, dating back to last year. So some good positive mojo for them, hopefully, that they can kind of help turn things around.
Yeah, they needed it badly, didn't they?
They did, very badly.
Absolutely. We talked briefly about it in our last segment. Jeff brought it up. A lot of the angst that's been coming out about Kyle Larson coming back on the track and ultimately bringing out that caution flag that changed the end of that race at Darlington. But I tell you, they talked about it. Jeff talked to the crew chief about it, and there are a lot of reasons that Kyle Larson came back out on the track. First of all, the teams wanted the ability to come back out on the track. They wanted to be able to determine when their race was over. They didn't want NASCAR to tell them when the race was over. That's why the rule got changed. Second, and this has been the case in NASCAR for years and years, the teams use time like that to practice for situations that may come up like this in the playoffs. When fixing a car, getting it back out there may get them a few valuable points that they need in the playoffs. And then keep in mind, Darlington is the first track in the playoffs, and Cliff Daniels talked about the ability to get some data points that may help them when the playoffs roll around. Jeff, Dylan, thanks a lot. We'll talk to you next week.
Join us again next week for the Pit Reporters on PRN, the Performance Racing Network.